Good morning, Tony. How are you these days?
Well, I'm very well. Just sort of, well, still sweating a little bit from the recent weather and the warmth of it all. And, well, it's been meteorological autumn for, well, a few weeks now. And, of course, astronomical autumn begins, at the weekend. So,
it does.
Yeah, it means that things in the garden change too, doesn't it?
It is, and I'm a great believer in not thinking that it's downhill all the way to winter now, because there's still some good weeks left, and hopefully, and I'm crossing my fingers here, that we did have a few drops of rain, and I say a few drops of rain, but one of the things that you really need to, even if we get a good old shower now, it's not going to go in very far. Particularly in our area, really, where there's a lot of heavy clay.
Yeah.
Because the heavy clay, because it's such small particles, all those particles club together and they form this mat. So that's what makes your garden like a bit of a rock, really.
Well, we had a wet summer, though, didn't we, really, essentially? And it's just been sort of the last few weeks where the temperatures have risen and, of course, the sun's come out to play a bit. So I'm guessing there's still probably quite a bit of groundwater there, isn't there?
There is, and that's okay for trees and shrubs and plants that are really sort of deep-rooted. But those that are shallow-rooted are probably struggling a little bit. I've got rudbeckia, which is a herbaceous plant, which is in the front garden. It's in full sun all day, and there's a very low amount of soil in that area. And I can't do anything about it because it fronts onto the pavement. So you do have to sort of keep an eye on those things. And, of course, pots. The rainwater isn't going to go into the pots. And somebody said to me the other day, do you know, I put a gallon of water on my pot. And I said, oh, really? That's 8 pints. How big is the pot? Oh, she said, oh, well, it must be, oh, perhaps 30 inches across.
Wow, it's a fair-sized pot.
It's a big pot. And just to put 8 pints in that on a mature tree, which was an Acer, that's not enough because it doesn't go into the middle of the root ball. And I've probably said this to you before, I've got a soapbox stand. There needs to be at least 2 to 2.5 inches from the surface of the soil to the top of the pot. And then when you water, you fill that space with water and then it goes all the way down and that should be enough. So,
yeah.
That's the lesson over for this morning, Tony.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And, of course, there are certain times of the day that you can water in the summer because of the sunshine and the heat sort of making the water sort of disperse and dry out very, very quickly.
And burn the leaves. So the whole thing is direct the water to where it's needed.
Which is the roots.
Which is the roots. And therefore spraying around. And it's not a good idea. Because, A, as you just said, it evaporates so quickly and the plants don't get the benefit. So, there we are.
Okay, well, I mean, the summer is always a sort of, well, it's a very colourful time for the garden. And autumn seems to be the preparation because winter tends to be a much greyer thing. You don't see too much in the way of lots of colour in the winter garden. And autumn seems to be the preparation and the space between the two with the colour and the non-colour. So, I mean, there are lots of things to do, actually, in the autumn garden, aren't there?
Oh, lots of things to do. One of the things to beware of at the moment, and lots of, particularly social media, are all saying, you must mulch your plants in the autumn, you must do this, you must do that. Please don't mulch your plants until after we've had some rain. Because the mulch will act as a blanket, which will keep the water out just as much as conserving the water that's underneath it. So if you've got a really dry soil, you need to tickle over the top, then allow the rain to do that, and then mulch on top of that.
As with all of these things, there seems to be an order in which to do them and a length of time to allow things to actually happen. But I mean, you read different times and different ways of doing these things in different books. I mean, you're mentioning mulch there. It's a case of you don't just spread it and then plant on top of it, do you?
No, definitely not. So it all depends how you're going to do it, because I mean, a lot these days is the no dig method.
Mm.
Now, that is not a new thing at all. Mm. It's been going for donkey's years. And it's a way of not releasing the carbon out of the soil, which we've all gone a bit mad about.
Mm.
But it's absolutely right. If you actually just lightly tickle over the surface of the soil, and everybody laughs at me when I say tickle, but it is just all you're doing is disturbing that first couple of inches.
Yeah.
Then the water goes down into that area, rather than it bouncing back off when it's a sort of a solid mat, really.
Yeah.
So then that's the time after that, and we've had some decent rain, then that is the time to mulch. And you really need to put on a reasonable amount of mulch, actually, 2 to 2.5 inches, rather than just lightly spread it.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing with not turning over the soil, I mean, there are those that are going to go, oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much credence there is to it, but if you look at, well, I'm guessing the old methods were, certainly with farming, you used a field and you then turned it over at the end and left it fallow for a year.
Yes,
and right. I would guess the same principle would have been applied to the garden in a similar way, with not necessarily giving it a complete year, but you know, turning the soil properly. I mean, is what we're doing now with adding mulch and that as good as those old methods?
I think so, if you put on the right sort of mulch. Yeah. And there's no point. I mean, I've got no-peat grow bags, which I've had my tomatoes in, and I shall put those back onto the ground as soon as we've had some rain.
Mm.
So I don't mind that at all. But I used to work down at Denman's, at Mrs. Robinson's garden,
mm-hmm.
and she was a lady before her time, I'll tell you. She really was. She used to say, because she used to keep calves, for the market, and
yeah.
you know, grow them on and pop them out into the field afterwards.
Yeah.
So she had loads of manure.
Yeah.
And she used to say, just bung it on the garden, Jean, she said, and let the worms do the rest. And that's a no-dig method, isn't it?
I've heard of that before, yeah. But I mean, that is natural movement, isn't it?
It is.
And what you're talking about here is not necessarily natural movement. It's just a new way of doing things that doesn't upset the environment quite so much.
And the balance of everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really don't like pesticides. I really, really don't. And somebody said to me at the beginning of the week, oh, well, I use rock salt. I said, what for?
It's good for getting rid of the slugs, I suppose.
Well, it's... And it all goes down into the water.
Yeah.
This is the problem. If you're using it, so I said, where are you using it? Oh, on the drive. I just put it on by handfuls, he said. I thought, oh, my God. Anyway,
wasn't this the thing to do with all of the chemicals and the pesticides?
Yes.
That, of course, were going into the watercourses. We're so much wiser about some of those things these days, aren't we?
Oh, we are, yes. And plastics as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't see all those minute bits of plastic that are everywhere. But I do try as much as I can to be as organic as I can. And I think it's the same as us, Tony, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you put the right things into your body, if food and enough liquid, then we fight off all the illnesses. And that's what plants do. Plants are only as good as the soil that they're growing in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. That's another lesson.
Right. I mean, to go on, there's some of the other things that we need to do. We need to start planting some of the things that will grow in the winter. And one of the successes for us last year, funnily enough, was garlic, believe it or not. And, of course, it's a thing that you plant around now. And
bit later if you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, sort of, I suppose from here onwards, from autumn onwards, September, October time, that if you put it in the ground and literally walk away and leave it and go back to it 6 months later, you'll know, somewhere around May, June next year, you'll have something that is absolutely wonderful.
It's a fantastic crop.
It's absolutely stunning. It really was. I mean, and we've done all sorts of things with ours. And, it's just, you make your own garlic olive oil and stuff like that.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
It's truly wonderful. I mean, it's so simple. This is the thing that I think a lot of people miss and think that gardening is so, so difficult. I mean, and I've always thought that as well. But then you come across these things and literally chuck them in the ground, walk away.
Yeah, the only snag that you've got is if you've got particularly an allotment, and I did a talk in Surrey, actually, funnily enough, on Wednesday evening, and the guy there was saying that he has lost his garlic crop, he's lost his leek crop, and he's lost his onion crop.
Oh, how?
Because he's got white rot.
Oh.
It was a new allotment to him,
and
he said, I didn't know it was in the ground. And so all he'll have to do is to re-situate. He'll just have to situate his garlic and onion crop somewhere else on the allotment.
Yeah.
Because once you've got white rots in the ground, you won't get rid of it.
Oh, right. Okay. I was going to say, is there a remedy for anything like that at all? Or is it a case
not
of...
for that.
You just, how long do you leave the ground for then before you can go back to it?
3 years.
3 years. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, you're on a hiding to nothing if you put onions into an area of white rot, because they just don't grow and they rot away.
Yeah,
you know. So and it affects leeks, as I say, and your garlic. So he's lost all three of his, which is devastating, really.
Yeah. It is. But I mean, those sorts of things, if your ground is fine, is such easy things to deal with, aren't they?
It is. The only thing as well, Tony, because I think you grow in troughs, don't you, as well?
Well, they're raised beds, but they're a couple of meters long and they're about a meter wide, so they're fairly big.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that you can grow things like garlic in a trough, a small trough, or a pot, or I mean, and now is the time, actually, if you wanted to sow things. Spring onions, but you can sow them in the winter as well. That and a winter crop of lettuce, which is quite nice. You can buy specific varieties. And there are things, as I say, turnips. Now, turnips are coming back, did you know?
I can believe that.
The supermarkets are beginning to have turnips and Swedes back. And I think that's fantastic because they're so easy to grow. And you can grow them in a pot. There's no need to have a great big, sort of container like you've got or an allotment like mine.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing in all of this that just sort of reared its ugly head in my brain is the fact that come autumn... the leaves fall off the trees, and what's the best thing to do with them? Should we just turn them into the ground, or should we just sort of try and clear them as much as possible?
Well, it depends really on how you like your garden to look, partly.
No, I mean, it's whether it's good for the soil or not.
It is good for the soil, but it needs to rot down first, if you can do it. If you've got things like an oak tree in the garden, just... rake it all up, put it into either your compost bin in layers. This is the trick. Instead of bunging them all in one lump, layer it. So if you can get some twiggy bits in between so that you've got air going through it, and then you water it. Not a lot of people remember to water their compost bin. It's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I've just learned a lesson there. I thought with compost, you just put it in the bin, left it, and went back to it a while later, and it was composted down. I didn't realise you had to feed it.
Well, you used to get some stuff called garrotta, which you can still get, which sort of hastens it up. But if you don't do that, it's like lawn clippings. If you mow the lawn and then dump all your lawn clippings in one go, what happens is that it rots down so quickly and heats up. And you get what's called anaerobic bacteria in there. Mm. And that's why you get a smelly compost bin.
I'm certainly getting an education here with that. So compost, how long would it take, say, once you've got the leaves sorted out, for it all to sort of mulch down into compost?
Well, it all depends. I mean, there was a big fad a few years ago where you got a big black polythene bag and you shoved all your leaves in there, punked holes in it all over the place. Well, that's okay. It depends where you're going to place those bags. And have you got room for all these blooming great big bags, which are going to be slightly smelly after a while, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, yes, oak and those big old leaves like that, they take ages and ages. That's why I say layer them. It's absolutely excellent for the garden.
So really, you've got to think months ahead with your compost, really, to actually
be using it.
So if you've got stuff coming off the trees this year, you're not going to get to use it till next year, are you?
Absolutely not, and perhaps not next year. I mean, ideally, you should have three compost bins. I haven't got three. I've just got two because I haven't got the space for anything else. Mm. But you keep one. And the trick with a compost bin is, if you've got one of those Dalek ones, you know, the plastic ones with a lid, and is to take the lid off, water it, and actually put a hoe in there or a fork and actually give it a twist around so that you get air into it, and you'll find that it rots down 10 times quicker that way.
Oh, well, there we go. We've learnt a little bit about compost this morning and, of course, can be put on the garden to do all sorts of things. Finally, top tip from you for things for the main thing to do in the garden this autumn.
For me, and I've been doing it this morning, deadheading my plants.
Okay.
All my herbaceous stuff, I've been deadheading it, not cutting them back, just deadheading. And then you need to think about how many you're going to lift and divide. Now, you can lift and divide your herbaceous perennials in the autumn or in the spring. So it's up to you as to whether you've got the time and the inclination to do it in the autumn.
No, I suppose it'll save you time and effort, and it'll make your garden look good in the spring, won't it?
It'll make it look garden in the autumn as well. By the way, just as a tip, if you've got grasses and things like that, and I mean ornamental grasses, leave those flowers on, like the pampas grass and things like that. The birds love it. Birds love it.
There you go. We've learnt a little bit this morning. We've certainly sorted the thing out about compost and other things, raking sort of earth over and all the rest of it. We've come a long way. Jean, we've run out of time, I'm afraid.
We always do, don't we?
It goes by so quickly, I know. Yeah. We'll continue with a further look at what to do in the middle of autumn, I guess, in a month's time or so. But
excellent.
For now, Jean Griffin.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Jean Griffin, for now, thank you.
Bye-bye.